Well, a very good evening to you out there this Monday evening, and thanks for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, live in the Tralee Studio, Donald Barry, Bluecher, till 8 o'clock this evening, with a show that has a lot this evening, with football, hurling, ladies football, soccer, basketball, and a special interview coming up just after 7 on women's sports in the company of Niamh Tallon of hersport.ie. Don't miss that. Well, it wasn't to be for the footballers of Listowel, as they came up short against a very solid unit in Arva yesterday, and I suppose indeed congratulations to all those out there, the cabin supporters, as they went on to win the All-Ireland Junior Club football title, and a very big well done to Listowel as well. I mean, the result look might not have went their way, but I suppose over the course of the last couple of months they've given great entertainment, great enjoyment to the people of Listowel, indeed the people of Kerry, everywhere, and I don't think yesterday's match will define them or the club in the years ahead, for sure. There's a wonderful future there, I to be fair, and indeed I'm sure it'll fuel the hunger even more, I suppose, as they face the Intermediate Championship next year. Were you at it? Did you travel to Croker, I wonder? Were you happy with the outcome? Were you happy with some of the calls made yesterday, particularly in the game as well? A lot of people reflecting on the performance of the officials as well, and you can get in contact and let us know your views on it. As always, our calls on change 0667123666, that's Ivan's there, and 083 300 3300, text or WhatsApp there as well. And if you're in around the Listowel area, make sure you get out and support the team, the homecoming there in the square. Give the boys a good old cheer. It's nice, like tonight, I suppose, that the real support means a lot, and it's always in, I suppose, disappointing defeats that people like to see people out and supporting them, and they're fully deserving of that. Now, one man who was in Croke Park yesterday was Liam Brosnan, back after his break in the sun. Liam, I'd say the temperature at the very top of the Hogan Stand woke you up yesterday, certainly not like where you were last week.
That's for sure, Donald. It was more like frostbite than sunburn yesterday anyway.
It's a real cold place up there. Of course, it's nice and high. Come here from your lofty perch with your two minders, or the two people that you were minding, maybe. Listowel, at halftime it looked really good, but it kind of just went a bit hames in the second half.
Yeah, look, it was a nervy enough start by Listowel. You know, the first 10 minutes, it took them a while to get into it. But they really took over then for the last 20 minutes of the first half. And very impressive. You know, they were solid, they were very composed on the ball. They were hitting Arva in places where, you know, for the first 10 minutes you were kind of saying, Jesus, these boys look good, and you know, and the minute Listowel kind of settled and they kicked a couple of points and they were back in the game. And going in at half time and even talking to a lot of reporters inside, we're very impressed with Listowel. But a couple of us said it, like, you know, that the way Arva were playing, you know, they had the pace, the two guys around the middle of the field that everyone's talking about, Kieran Brady and this Tristan Noah Hoffman, the soccer boy, you know, you could see there was going to be a danger in them, that with their power running, what they were doing, they were getting bodies behind the ball and they were breaking a pace, and they had pace. And I suppose, you know, the black card and all these kind of things didn't help Listowel, because Croke Park isn't the pitch, you know, that if you go down to 14 men, it's not very easy for 14 fellas, not a mind 15 fellas up there, and they probably did struggle when that happened. All right, but to be fair, and I agree with your intro, you know, it'll hurt for a while now for Listowel, and when the dust settles, they'll probably realise, look, you know, the achievement that they've achieved. If you sat down last year with Listowel and said what was going to happen, they'd bite, they'd take it. Mm-hmm. No, so I think there's great credit due to them. No, finals are kind of games that anything can happen. You want a bit of luck, you know, you need performances on the day, and unfortunately maybe one or two decisions with the referee, a lot of people that's out there as well. No, it just wasn't their day yesterday. And I think, look, Arva, you know, their failure to convert their chances probably kept Listowel in the game. And when you look at the scoreboard, there was only 3 points in it at the end, and when Listowel look back at it and say, look, we could have done this, we could have done that, it's all could have's, but at the same time, you know, there's credit due to them. They're after a great year. I wouldn't put yesterday's performance down to, you know, anything really is what they've done all year. Things happen, but yesterday I do think the better team won.
Yeah, they came up against, I mean, Kieran Brady midfield. I mean, he gave a smashing defence. And then again, like, I mean, they're inter-county footballers. I mean, with Kevin, and of course, the Ulster Championship a couple of years ago, and he's played all the way through the leagues. And you see this with clubs as well, that you don't really know who you're playing, because every club, no matter what part of the world or the county or what counties they come from, they will have players of exceptional quality. And you know yourself as well, Liam, on a final, some fella will give a performance for the ages. And it seemed to be that yesterday with Arva, that they did have the couple of fellas who did play pretty much out of their skin.
Exactly, and that's the key factor in all this, is they had, you know, the experience of inter-county footballers. You know, they're 8 and 9, the two boys in the middle of the field, and number 12 are Cavan seniors. They're 10 and 11, then were Cavan under 20s. You know, so they're, you can say whatever you want, but that inter-county experience probably in the second half, and that little bit of power and stuff like that, it probably got them over the line in the end. No, so yeah, it was, and they had a guy up front as well, as Kevin Bruchier, full forward. Very impressed with him. You know, he kicked 4 frees, all right, 4 points from frees, but he was all over the field. No, he was everywhere, and he won a lot of hard ball. So they had guys like that. Peter Morrison side kicked 3 points corner forward as well. No, impressed with them. Whereas when you flip it around and you look at Listowel, you know, they only got one guy kicked 2 points from play. It's up front at Cormac Mulvihill, you know, so
they found it going. And of course, they had their chances, like Brian Sweeney was in there at one stage. I mean, it was a tremendous block there by the full back. And then, like you said, the black card, obviously, and like you said, was it not? I mean, for most, they say it's not. He didn't seem it. It was a foul of 100%, but the letter of the law was a black card. But those 10 minutes kind of hurt. And then, I suppose, the one that everybody wants to talk about is the goal. Was it the goal? Was it advantage? The advantage wasn't given. You could debate it till the cows come home, but at the end of the day, the referee is final whether it was the right decision or not. It's not going to change the result at this stage. And look, to be fair to Listowel, I think you're right. At the start of the year, I think everybody had Ballymac's name on this. Listowel turned up at those races and were fantastic, and fantastic all the way through as well. Fantastic display in the semi-final. And look, they're going to have their night over in Listowel this evening, and hopefully everybody in Arkerry gets out and supports them. And of course, exactly, they are going to be in the intermediate next year as well. And you never know, you might even pick them to win the intermediate next year. See where Fossa went. Fossa came up last year, intermediate, and they went all the way as well, or from junior to intermediate. Come here, the other games, of course, Kerry were facing Cork. We thought they were facing Cork in Tralee, but now they're going to Cork to face Cork in the McGrath Cup next Friday. So you might be in the car again with your two friends driving again. Come here, the McGrath Cup. Jack said last year at some press conference, if it was marbles, we'd want to beat Cork in it. Is this a game he wants to win?
I think so. And we're looking like 2 years ago when we were inside in Tralee in the first game against Limerick, when Jack put out that strong team. Seems to be doing the same thing again this year. No, there is a few guys that are kind of putting their hands up and they want to be, which is great. But yeah, we're starting strong this year. There's no excuse. I found last year, even through the McGrath Cup, through a lot of the league, you know, we were using this holiday as an excuse that we're not back yet, and it kind of dragged on for a couple of months. And people have to realise like that, the championship comes very quick. I think we're out in April. Mm-hmm. Against Cork, you know, so the league won't be long coming and going, and then the championship, you know, so Jack wants to get off on the right foot early, and I think he's doing that. And look, Cork and Kerry are always great games, you know, between the banter, between the crowd and the supporters and the players, and especially players. And no one, if you're a player, you don't want to lose to the red jersey, and there'll be no Kerry fella going up there Friday night. No, not giving it 100%. So I'd expect a very entertaining game. And Cork are doing the same. Cork are building strong as well now early this year. So it'll be a good game. Yeah.
Yeah. New captain expected to be named Paddy Clifford. Probably not a shock. But it's nice to see Paddy with the band.
Exactly, and he's a guy that has a good record with the band when he has it between Fossa and East Kerry. So why not? But look, that Kerry team at the moment, when you have the likes of David and Paddy and Sean O'Shea and these fellas, a lot of captains around that room, you know, so I'm sure Paddy will get plenty of help, but you couldn't have a better man at the helm or at the driving, at the wheel, you could say, to lead us on this year.
Yeah, and to guess something, of course, going back to 2011, it'll open another debate, which we won't have tonight, but 11 of the last 13 captains have either been East Kerry or Dr. Croke's men.
Yeah, we'll have to split up that county in three or four sections, I think.
We won't have that debate, but it's getting very narrow, little section now, isn't it?
And the other thing there, Don, if you were probably Jack O'Connor, our manager of the Kerry team, and if you were picking a captain, they'd nearly be the captains that you would pick anyway.
100%.
You know, so there is a debate for that, the debate there for that as well. You know, that they're nearly the guys that you would be picking anyway, even if there wasn't that rule that if East Kerry or Crokes didn't win it.
Yeah, and of course, look, I suppose all managers and club managers are doing the rotation and getting on. A new manager in Rahal is this week, replacing John O'Connor. Ray Walsh taking over there. Of course, Ray, I suppose, well-known right. coach within the club as well, and Ray managed them to win the under 21. Of course, the under 21s, the BT's Kerry a couple of years ago.
Maybe the under 21s in Castle Island.
In
that
Castle
day,
Island,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good fit, good manager.
Good fit, good manager. As I say, one of their own as well. Mm-hmm. But as a lot of people that's involved in football know, like club management is a hard gig now at the moment because the year is so long. Like a lot of clubs are back already. You know, and it feels like it that it's only after finishing. You know, so it's I give every club manager a clap in the back anyway this year because it and what they have to put up with and the whole lot, it's a tough going, but yeah. Look, they do it for the love of it, I suppose, and it's something that's in the blood and they can't get away from it.
No, absolutely, as I said, a true blue. We'll talk about a couple more of the changes, I suppose, over the next couple of weeks. Yourself and John will be back in here hopefully next week
talking about raring for road
the McGrath Cup and the whole lot. Listen, Liam, thanks very much this evening. We'll catch up with you next week.
No matter, Donald.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, hi, Donald. Hard luck to the Stole. It wasn't their day. I think the goal should have stood and the black card was harsh, but Arva deserved their win. That's Charles up there in North Kerry. There was a wonderful atmosphere in Croke Park yesterday, Donald, and we can have no complaints. The best team, particularly in the second half, won. The Stole has never had as much support as we had yesterday. We will be back in it and against it next season, using our experiences to tackle the 2024 season. That comes from Sean Healy. Yeah, absolutely, Sean. Good comment. Not taking away from Arva, who deserved their win yesterday with the performance of the referee was poor, particularly in the second half, and the Stole were getting nothing from him. And that's Damien just around the corner here in Tralee. And keep those comments coming in. Now, the Kerry Hurlers were out yesterday, their second game of the season. Now, there was no repeat, I suppose, of that famous win over Tipperary 2 years ago, I suppose now it was, for the Kerry Hurlers. But they did put in a fantastic performance, particularly in the first half, and Richardo Foran, our hurling pundit, is on to have a look at it. Two games in, no wins, but plenty positives, Richard, really, from a very young team.
Yeah, I would be very positive, Donald, about the two games as well. I think Pat Bennett was speaking after the game yesterday, and he said that we have 16 new guys, and the average age is 21. So, and I think that, you know, from the two games, I think that there was great bravery in the two games. Even the Tipperary guys said yesterday it was amazing, even when Tip were putting Kerry under pressure. Kerry didn't buckle, they didn't panic. They were working the ball out from the back and putting some great points to the forwards, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And certainly, I think, very, very young team, and we've unearthed a few fantastic players. But you were talking about East Kerry there, but... Mr. Crowley yesterday, I thought, and when he came on against Waterford, you know, he's a real dynamo, and I think that he has great potential. And yesterday was a great performance. It was great to see Shane Conway back doing what he does best out around the middle of the field, and Dan Goggin and a few others as well. Young players, and you know, when things got tough against Waterford and Tip, and there were a few differences of opinion, shall we say, it was good to see the Kerry lads standing up, you know, and they weren't cowed by the superior opposition. They stood up to them and manfully, and you know, give great accounts of themselves. So, young team, very, very positive showings in both games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, to be fair, I was at the Waterford game, and I suppose I said last week to James, I mean, at the start it looked like the Waterford were the big, huge men, and Kerry maybe a bit on the light side. But I mean, they did roll up the sleeves and they get stuck in and they were able to get their scores. Yesterday, I think, even against Tipperary, I think particularly in the first half watching it, they kind of even stepped up their performance because they went in at halftime behind, but had they been ahead, nobody would have argued, I'd imagine.
No, the first half was very even. I know they'll be disappointed with the second half, but I suppose, the panel will be limited. And with regard to Tipperary, they have a massive panel. And so they had the legs to bring on, the fresh legs to bring on. And certainly, it was tough for Kerry in the second half. But the first half performance, I thought, was absolutely excellent. And even the Tipperary guys were amazed at how brave Kerry were, and they were willing to run at them, and they weren't overawed by Tipperary at all, but putting in some great performances and some great scores. I said Crowley from the sideline, Goggin from the sideline, and his goal as well. But some great performances, but very very promising from some of the younger players. You see Evan Murphy come, he's a player now who has grown in stature inside full back. Mm-hmm. And certainly, they give a great account of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they'll have to get going fairly quickly because it's Carlow they're playing, of course, last year's McDonagh Cup winners. Come here, were you celebrating the New York win out in Ballyhigh?
Oh, absolutely. We're very proud. And I'm sure in cause as well, I suppose, because Eamon Fitz had something to do with it. But Richie Hartnett, Richie is a businessman in America, and he was involved with the Waterford Club over there. I know, of course, he's involved with New York, and they had a great win there in the Connacht final against Mayo. And Richie's a great fella, and we're very, very proud of him. He's done great work out there, himself and Eamon Fitz. And look at New York curling is really on the up at the moment, and congratulations to everybody involved.
Yeah, it's a great story, to be fair. The real fairy tale of New York maybe this year, Richie Hartnett. And of course, there was a wonderful picture of himself and his son, of course, with the cup afterwards as well. And it might have only been the Connacht Hurling League final, but it's certainly a magic moment. Another man who, I suppose, had a couple of magic moments in his career as well, sadly passed, Father Paddy Godley. We were mentioning it last week. A real star for Ballyhigh, of course, St Brendan's. And I didn't realise, of course, he was a Kerry minor.
Yeah, he won a minor medal in 1946 and two Munsters in 50 and 51. And then in the semi-final against Mayo, he was marking the great Sean Flanagan, who was on the team of the million. But that Kerry team featured a few stars, the Bond, Jackie Lyon, Jazz Murphy, Paddy Sheehy, Sean Murphy, Jim Brosnan, Mixie Palmer, absolutely fantastic players. But obviously, his career was cut short by the fact he was doing, for the priesthood, and that time it was quite difficult, even back then, I remember even John Lewis was saying to me that once that in 63, our third had to give Kilmiley a walkover because they had three priests who wouldn't be released for the game. Do you know what I mean?
Whoa, okay.
So they were quite strict that time.
Yeah.
I suppose only for that, Father Paddy would have had a longer career, because he was in Seattle from 1953 to 2000. And when he used to come back to Ballylungan, to the lads when they'd be up hurling in Ballylungan, he should be showing them their skills. And he was certainly an excellent footballer. And he was in great company, illustrious company, as they say, with all those players, Mixie Palmer and the whole lot, and the Bond and what have you. But he was outstanding, and he was a really, really brilliant priest as well. A really funny guy as well, and he was very modern. As I say, he was quite advanced in years, but he had a very, very modern outlook with regard to the priesthood. But as a footballer and as a Ballyhigman, we were very proud of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Gone to his reward as Father Godley. Come here, a reward for hard work. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's as good as confirmed that the new Kerry Hurling manager, Kerry Hurling captain, Tomás O'Connor. A good fit?
Absolutely. I mean, if you were to speak to anybody about Tomás, people would speak very highly of him. Indeed, a number of years ago, I remember he caught you playing Ballyhigh, and he had a difference of opinion, let's say, with a Ballyhigh man. And after the game, the first thing he did, he went up and he shook his hand, and he chat with your man, there was no animosity there or anything like that. Speaking to lads now, people would say it's an excellent fit, because He's a man who wears his hat on his sleeve. He's a proud Ballymac man as well. And, you know, he's a fine footballer too, but has thrown his lot in with the Kerry Hurlers, you know. And I think he will be an inspirational captain. And, you know, and that's not just me now, but, you know, I've sounded out, you know, what other people think about him, but, and they say that he's an honourable player, an honest player, and he'd make a fine captain.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, he's a late enough convert to hurling as well. I mean, I obviously coming from the Ballymac side, I think he only picked it up actually when he was in secondary school or something. I remember interviewing him a couple of years ago. But certainly mad for it at the moment anyway. And of course, Crotta is the club there as well. Listen, Richard, we'll have yourself and James back in action ahead of the Carlow league game. That's a big opening game for Kerry, isn't it, the Carlow one?
Massive, because as Carlow are the Joe McDonagh champions, playing in the Leinster Championship this year, so it'll certainly be a great test for Kerry. Carlow will go in as hot favourites, but you know what I've seen so far, and look, it's only two games in the Munster Senior League. What I've seen, the fitness is good, the attitude is good, there's great bravery, there's great commitment, they're a young team and they're willing to give it a go. As I say, they're willing to irrespective of the pressure that's on them, like yesterday, as the tip lad said, they're willing to attack, mm-hmm. and they have no fear, and that's very positive.
Absolutely, and hopefully it remains positive so for throughout the year as well for them. And we wish Stephen Malumpy all the very best and his management team as well. Richard, thanks very much for this evening. We'll catch up in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Lono. Take care of yourself.
We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, come from PJ, of course, it was the match as well. Kerry played well in the first half yesterday, but disappointing in the second half. We seemed to stop playing the ball into the forwards, and we kept a lot of ball going sideways and backwards passes, overturned a few times and cost us a few scores. But there is a lot of positives, but overplaying at times is something that needs to be cut out, and that's from PJ, of course. But by and large, it's fairly positive, and we'll keep it on the positive track as well. Now, the Kerry senior ladies are getting ready to defend their little National League Division 1 title. Isn't that gas? Now, last year we were hoping that they'd stay above, and now we're talking about them defending their little ladies. And of course, they get nothing easy in that division either, because their first away trip is to Parnell Park. They're playing Dublin, the All-Ireland champions, and then Kerry joins us for the first time in 2024. I don't think they could have got a tougher ask or a tougher start to the league, could they then?
No, they couldn't, Donal, and I suppose it's a glamour tie, really, like, and it's a good way to start things, like, you know, Dublin All-Ireland champions, Kerry National League Division 1 champions, and it's absolutely ideal, you know, Parnell Park, Quadfest 5 on Saturday, under the lights, live in TG Cahir, and it should draw a fairly big audience, like, you know, so, yeah, it's the ideal game to start, like, you know, it's two big guns, two heavyweights of division get it. Next Saturday, Donal.
Mm-hmm. I remember last year the first game was blown water for them.
It was a different kind of a setup now, to be fair. Yeah, like,
you couldn't have two different parts of it in the one planet. Sure. Come here, a different approach, I would dare say, this year for the Kerry seniors. I mean, last year was a case of probably maybe the getting enough points under the belt for us to see where we were going, and then of course we got a taste for winning and away we went. This year, new approach, we'll have to take it slowly again, or is it still kind of game by game? But they certainly will need to put points up as well.
Yeah, I think the management are taking a different, like you say, a different kind of approach at it this year. Like, I suppose, look, in previous years the big thing was to get out of Division 2, then the first year got out the second year. And then, of course, when they got up to Division 1, like you said in the intro there, the important thing was to actually try and stay in Division 1. So they had a pile of work going into the National League last year, kind of game preparation work. Like, and I suppose they had a fantastic league and culminating in their final win. Like, so obviously they're looking at it in kind of a different direction this year. They're kind of looking to use the league as a building block towards the championship, try and find new players, and try and, you know, get something different for championship time. So of course, like you say, it comes with a kind of a caveat, like, in the sense that you know, you there's two going down this year, mm-hmm. Donald, and you know, there was only one going down last year, so you do have to get points on the board. That's the important thing. So while you know, you can experiment at the start and all that. Like, you still have to try and win the games and get points on the board.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic for Kerry ladies football. For years, the one thing stopping us getting up to Division 2 was the fact that only one went down, and now you win it, and there's two going down fairly quickly. So you have to come running. Come here, a lot of new names, I suppose, after the disappointment of the All-Ireland final, they went back to their clubs, club championship, played a couple of games, and then, of course, they got back into it again, and they are back a number of weeks now training and getting ready for the league. A number of new players?
Yeah, speaking to the lads, they're at the press night on Friday night, and they're after bringing in four minor players, and they're namely Roisin Smith from Cumann, Roisin Rahaly from Ballymac, Jesse Gill from Southern Gales, and Amy Curtin there from my own club, Castleline Desmonds, who's actually a minor still, but she's brought in this year to the senior panel as well. But there's also a couple of, I suppose, older girls or girls that have been there before, that, you know, for varying reasons, haven't been part of the panel for the last couple of years, and they're namely Emma Dineen from Glenflesk. She's a very good player. She was a very good county player, I remember, a couple of years ago, before she opted out. And she's back there. Siobhan Burns from Crokes. Faye O'Donoghue from Beaufort, who happens to be Hannah O'Donoghue's sister, very, very good underage player as well, back in the day. Kate Sullivan from Dingle, a sister of Tom Leo Sullivan's. Mm-hmm. Tom Leo Sullivan's there. And again, a very, very sticky cornerback. She played a lot of county football. And
she's college kind of as well, yeah.
She, yeah, she did, so, didn't she? Was it... Was it UL she was in?
I think for some reason she was UCD. Yeah.
UCD, you're dead right. She, mm-hmm. she won an O'Connor Cup at UCD, yeah. Actually, you're dead right. And Breed O'Connor from Nagail. So, you know, they're all the new additions there. So they're bringing a bit of freshness into the setup, like, you know. So, yeah, they'll be hoping to get something out of that, like, you know. And of course, the great thing about the National League is that it's unlimited substitution, so they will get a chance to see all these girls in action. And I suppose their ultimate aim is to see at the end of the day, are they up to scratch and up to standard in terms of championship, which will be the ultimate goal at the end of it all, you'd imagine.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And before we'll have the whole people ring us, the ladies is not like the men's, that they won't be getting a Jim McGuinness 8-week ban for having a minor play with him. So they'll be safe enough on that regard,
yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah.
Come here, a new captain. Obviously, Clonmorris winning last year was fantastic for the North Kerry gang. But Niamh Carmody, fantastic captain, good pick, good choice.
Yeah, Niamh Carmody, and it was Fionnuala Sensen is the one the county
or
championship.
Fionnuala Sensen, of course, and Clonmorris in my head.
I don't know if you ever played a bit of
my apologies to the Camogie players.
Too sure though, but I'm sure. Look, I'd say Niamh Carmody could turn her hand to anything. In fairness, yeah, to her, she's an absolutely super footballer. Of course, two-time All-Star, you know, in the last couple of years. She's a leader on the pitch, really. Like, you know, she's not a girl that would be sort of a shouter or anything like that, you know, but she does all the hard yards, she does all the, you know, the hard work, the unglamorous stuff, but she does pop up with her bit of a goal or a couple of points as well. And, you know, she's going to be a good captain for Kerry, and like, you know, the two vice captains, Anna Galvin and Louise Nimera Hurtig. Sure, Jeannie, you mm-hmm. couldn't get two better, more experienced people to guide you along in the role, like, you know. So she's at the right stage of her career, Niamh Carmody, to go in as captain of Kerry. And, you know, we wish her all the very best of luck. And like I say, there's great backup there. I mean, there's an awful lot of experienced players in that Kerry panel. Like, if you think of the two girls I mentioned already, you go to Lorraine Scanlon, you go to Cort Lynch, Ashton O'Connell, you know, Eilish Lynch. They're all very experienced players, and they'll certainly help Niamh along the way, I'm sure. Like, it won't be just a big burden on her shoulders, but I'm sure she's going to make an excellent captain.
Yeah, I'd say she'll have the sleeves rolled up. We have an interview with her coming up there shortly anyway. The one thing I remember about Niamh Carmody coming through at 14 and 16, and we referenced in interviews, is that she never made the first 15 at the under 14s or under 16s. She was always number 26 or 27 or number 30 on the panel, and most people kind of peck it up or give it up or give it in or the whole at that stage, but she didn't give it in. She kept going. She went through minor, she bounced onto the senior team, and even at senior, I suppose maybe people had doubts about the whole thing. So it seems seems to be people have doubted her all the way, and she's all the way come through. And now she's a two-time All-Star, which is in fantastic company and well-deserved as well.
And you know what, Don, not to be cutting across you, but that's a very interesting point, because there's a study out there at the moment, and I know Fionn Fitzgerald, former Kerry footballer, he's doing a thesis on it, of how sometimes people are discarded because they're not making teams under 14 or whatever, but they mature and they blossom as they get older, like, you know. And Niamh is one of those. Yeah. Even though I can remember playing at under 12 level, and I thought she was outstanding. She was playing midfield for Fionnuala St Finn's. I was over at Desmond's team at the time, but definitely, like, you know, there is a place out there for late developers, you know, and she certainly came at the right time, and there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely, raring to go. Come here, Dublin, our old friends. We saw them last year in the league. We were very impressed with the way Kerry handled them, I suppose, below here in Austin Sack Park. It's going to be much different this time around, I'd imagine, because Dublin, strange enough, they've only won two leagues then. You think they would have won an awful lot more. Cork, of course, probably getting an awful lot of them over the years. But only two leagues. It's not a lot for a country like Dublin, who have won so many All-Irelands.
No, I suppose it's not really. But I think they sort of, particularly, definitely since Mick Bowen came in anyway, they sort of treated as a building block towards championship. You know, that's sort of their way, like, you know, they'll take a couple of defeats along the note. Having said that, they won five out of their seven games in last year's league, you know, but you know, the top two qualified for the final, so they were just outside of that. But yeah, it's interesting that they haven't won that. But look, I suppose it's all, like, you can win national leagues all you want, and Kerry's national league last year was a huge thing for them, because they needed to get that bit of silverware when they got to there. But at the end of the day, it was Dublin that were the All-Ireland champions, you know. Mm-hmm. And I suppose their currency is All-Ireland championships. And look, at the end of the day, that's what they have. They have the Brendan Martin Cup up there, like, you know. So really and truly, I don't think the league is as important in their process, like in their ambition, at the, you know. Essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Sticking on the I suppose the league, Lidl, of course, launched their well-researched commissions poll carried out by Red Sea there recently. They carried out in December 2023, of course, around Christmas time. Going head-to-head, there's loads of stats, but the stat here that we'll pick out: Irish people are five times likely to attend a Premier men's event in person than the equivalent Premier female event. 5-1. Sadly, it is the way, isn't it?
That is, yeah, sure, there's no doubt about it. I know tons of people they talk about a ladies game or a ladies event or that, but they wouldn't go across the road to watch it. They'd watch something on the television if it was a men's game, and that's reality. That's actually a fact. Now, it is changing. Like, if you think back to the Kerry Meath game in Ossetack Park there last year, there was a massive crowd. It was, I suppose, 4,500-5,000 people, like, came out. And a lot of them probably came out to watch a ladies' football game for the first time. But it still is a problem, like, you know, it still is an issue. Is it changing? It is, but it's very, very slow. It's very, very slow to change. And, you know, like I say, you know, lots of people out there that they wouldn't go. And women, and let's be honest about it, there's a lot of women out there that don't go to ladies' sporting events and go to men's instead. And you know, that's a shame, really. You know, I think people need to embrace it a bit more, but that statistic is true to fact, I would think, Donald, for sure.
Absolutely, and there's plenty more of those stats there as well. Listen, Dan, thanks very much this evening. There is going to be plenty of games, and of course there's going to be plenty of home games in Austin Sack Park and over in Clarence Fitzgerald Stadium as well. So listen, if you're listening this evening, make sure it's your New Year's resolution to get to at least one, if not two, or maybe all three of them, and support the Kerry ladies. The one thing at the moment is they are in a heavy block of training, and as I caught up with Declan Quill, he talked about the training.
They're showing up quite well. The fitness levels are there. They're doing very well in the gym. They've taken to the gym work very well. You know, there's girls on our panel last year that, you know, are only champing at the bit to get going again. You know, that maybe didn't see a whole pile of championship game time. So they're mad to make a step and maybe a kind of a stamp on the team and try to get on it and try to stay on it, because, you know, when you're playing well, it's very hard to be dropped off a team, you know. So, you know, there's girls that were in the panel last year that they're not totally new to this stuff, but they were trying to make their mark on this team as well, to see if they can to make a stake for championship time. Mm-hmm.
Having been in Division 1 last year, you've seen all the major players now, obviously. Does your game change because you need a little bit more of an X factor? Do you go looking for an X factor? I'm not saying you find another Lewis Mary Hurtig or whatever, but the style of play, does that change? Does the way you're looking for results change? Is there a style of play that you're trying to, you say, play or roll out through the league that will come into fruition maybe later in the year?
I suppose we're always going to try to stay true to our style, you know, that's the way we like to play football, and I think that's the way like the guards like to play. You know, we like kicking the ball, we like moving the ball fast, we like keeping as many forwards up as we can, but you know, that's not always the way we can play, because you know, sometimes you just have to cut your cloth to measure. And I suppose a big example of that was the Meath game last year in the All-Ireland quarter-final. You know, you can't go out and play against Meath like you could go out and play against maybe Dublin, a very good footballing team, whereas Meath might be a little bit different. So you have to suss out what the opposition are like, what they're up to, and sometimes you have to, I suppose, change your game to suit them in a certain way. But we try to stay true to our values as much as we can, you know, without being totally naive at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Will the results of the league this year kind of be viewed differently by not so much in wins, but by maybe finding four or five players that will fit into, I suppose, a championship-ready team come?
Yeah, that, like, look, I suppose we had plans, and then I suppose it's changed maybe to two going down this year. Maybe it's going to be a little bit more difficult to stay in Division 1. It's going to be fierce competitive again. All we'll be looking for the league is again to stay in Division 1, you know, get a couple of wins and give girls maybe on the periphery of the panel and periphery of the team just as much game time as we can to see, like you said, maybe we can unearth one or two girls that once they get extra game time that they will flourish and they'll make our championship team then.
Mm-hmm. Of course, last year, I mean, everybody knows the growing amount of support that's actually following this team. I mean, obviously, Kerry people have kind of taken them under their wing, and if they're not going to the matches, they're certainly listening to them on the radio or they're watching them on the television, they're following the results. How important will the home games be in the league this year for you?
I suppose they're the games you really need your crowd to come out. They're the games where, you know, you have an advantage already. You know, you don't have to travel, you don't have to stay overnight or whatever, and then you get a home crowd behind you. When the going gets tough, the crowd get behind you. It drives the girls on, you know. And look, we're going to be playing in Ostersack Park, when we're playing in Fitzgerald Stadium, place like that. You know, it's fantastic arenas for the girls to be playing in, and very easy access, huge loads of space for spectators to come and see the girls playing. And you know, I think anyone who was at that Meath game in Tralee last year, 4,000 or 5,000 people there in a dirty bad night, and they saw the quality of the game and just the battling qualities of the game. And it wasn't the prettiest game to look at, but it was just a fantastic game to be at, I could imagine. You know, it might whet the appetite for coming to see the girls a bit more during the league this year.
And finally, you're looking forward to seeing Mick.
Last time I saw Mick, we had a pint together and we were very friendly towards each other, and it was all water under the bridge, whatever happened in Parnell Park before. But no, Mick is a sound lad. He's been around, and yeah, we're looking forward to seeing him again on the 20th.
There you go, Declan Quill. All very nice. With Mick Bohan, of course, is the Mick we referenced there, and of course that is the Dublin Ladies Football Manager. And there is a real rivalry being built up at the moment between Kerry and Dublin over the last number of years, and they're pushing closer and closer. One of the big things for Declan Quill and Darragh Long, of course, is unearthing new players, but some of the players in the panel now are going into their second and third season, and it could be a very big breakout year for the next person, Mary O'Connell. Mary, we're heading into a new season. It's amazing. It's January, it's crisp, it's cold. It really is league weather, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I suppose it's always tough coming into the season at this time of the year, but the hard work has to be done in the cold, in the January wet weather. But we're looking forward to it now. A new season, new players, and it's going to be hopefully a good season for us.
Yeah. Is it hard to come back? I mean, obviously the All-Ireland last year, it was in such a high, two All-Ireland finals actually now in a row. The second one, probably disappointing.
Of course, yeah, it's disappointing, especially there was big hype up about that game, and we were going in obviously to win it, and come out the wrong side of it is always disappointing. But I suppose looking back on it, you have to just you have to just learn from it. You have to move on from it and hope that this season we could go game by game, take learnings from that game and hopefully improve on it again this year.
Does it take a bit of time to come back? The disappointment, obviously, I mean, you go back to your club and you play the championships, back to your friends and back to your family and all that. Is there a big support needed?
Yeah, definitely. Like the first week at least, you're surrounded by the girls from the team and then you're going back to work for people, back into club games, back into football. You don't have too much time to think about it, but of course it's difficult, but you have to get over it, move on and hope that this season can be better and learn more from it.
Mm-hmm. And of course you mentioned this season there's new faces coming in and of course there's faces probably going out as well. What's it like to get back the very first night?
It's exciting, to be fair. New faces coming in always brings a bit more energy, a bit more competition in between the teams. But it's good. Everyone has the same goal. Everyone's looking to make the panel, make the 15 and push each other in every session. So it's good to have everyone have new faces in and also have a few of the more experienced players to keep everyone driving on.
Mm-hmm. And of course, 3 years ago, you were a new face. Now you're 3 years in, you're not a new face on anymore. Can you see the younger, I suppose, kids or players coming through the door like Mary O'Connell a couple of years ago, maybe a bit small, a bit nervous and the whole lot? And is there a role then that you can play for that?
Yeah. I mean, I came in 3 years ago and there was a few players that you would have looked up to while you were younger, looking up to them, and then you're all of a sudden on the pitch next to them. But I think they're the players you learn from the best and that you want to be like them, and 3 years on then you're hoping to be starting with them and like competing with them for the positions. So yeah, there's definitely new girls in there, but everyone is on the same level. Everyone's looking for their place, looking for their jersey, so it's important to keep pushing each other and learn from the experienced players, but also know that there's the new players coming in looking for your position as well.
Mm-hmm. Does that concentrate the way you play? I mean, obviously you developed your own game. I mean, you're a talented midfielder. It's a difficult position to play in at the best of times. A lot of competition. You're coming up against the best within the county, obviously, against clubs, and obviously the best in the country as well. How are you looking forward for the season yourself personally?
Yeah, I suppose you want to build on every season, and coming in your first season you're looking and you're nervous to get in and you're nervous to get to know the players, but now having 3 seasons in you're looking to push on, you're looking to make more of an impact within the team, also knowing that there's new faces coming in looking for your jersey, the experienced players that are still there that you're trying to push on and get ahead of. But everyone's pushing each other in training, everyone's trying to get stronger, fitter, faster, and hoping that this season we can all push each other and get a good result of it. Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of ironic or maybe a little bit fixed that you end up playing Dublin on the very first game? It's live, it's on TV, it's kind of promoting a rivalry really, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it's a big game to have, first league game of the year, especially after the All-Ireland obviously last year. But again, it's going to be completely different. It's January, it's going to be in different conditions, in different teams are going to be put out, new girls are going to get their game time, and also we're just not going to be as together as we were last season, but I think that's important too. Both teams are going to have the same challenges to face and it's going to be exciting to see what each team can bring on the day.
Mm-hmm. And of course it's amazing, 12 months is very different. I mean, last year you were the new kids on the block, taking it game by game all the way to the final, and you won the final, the whole lot. Do you feel that there might be more of a target on your back now this year?
I suppose the whole competition itself, all the teams are getting stronger. You can see there's more competition between every team. Yeah, I suppose because we won it last year, maybe so there'd be a bit more of a target on our back, but each game this year now we're just going to have to take it game by game. I'd say most girls are going to get a lot of game time during the league and build ourselves up as much as we can, get everyone with game time going into championship. But yeah, take it game by game, hope that Dublin we can get a performance in and see what the results look like.
Mm-hmm. And finally, you have a new captain, Niamh Carmody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does she give good speeches?
She does. She's very good to have. It's good to have change in there as well. Obviously, Fionnuala won last year the championship, and to have her as our captain I think is going to be very good for us this year. She's very motivated and driven in training and will always give it her 100%, so I think for having someone like that to look up to and to have as our captain is going to be very important for us.
Yeah, Mary, the very best of luck to you and hope you have a great season.
Thanks million. Thank you.
There you go, Mary O'Connell, one of the new voices that you'll probably hear an awful lot more of over the year than the Gael girl only over on the corner here. as I said, keep an eye on her because that's her third season in with the senior team already. Talented midfielder, big season ahead. And it's surprising actually because there's an awful lot of players, as Dan referenced, kind of in new this year. There's a lot of players kind of in that 3 or 4 year bracket as well. And of course, there's a couple of veterans there as well, Louise Murray Hurtick and Lorraine Scanlon and Cahill Lynch and the whole lot. So there's a nice mix for Declan Quill and Darragh Long side. But they have a new captain, and of course, my forgiveness, of course, for Clan Morris winning the Camogie, but it was Finnug St. Sennans, of course, who beat Southern Gales in that final, and that helped. Niamh Carmody become the captain, and she's all excited about it. But first of all, Niamh Carmody, congratulations, captain of Kerry. I dare say they're quite proud of that in North Kerry.
I suppose it's a big honour for the club to have someone captaining Kerry, and, you know, Flamily, I'm proud to be involved with Finnugan St. Sennans. It's a massive and great club out there. So, I'd say it is. Yeah, it's a good honour.
And it's an amazing journey in many ways because most people would say captain of Kerry. I mean, obviously, you're a star all the way along, but it didn't start out that way for you. I mean, in many ways, when you hit the Kerry team earlier on, you weren't on the starting 15. You were somewhere down the back, were you?
Yeah, I was well down the back, probably under 14s and under 16s. I was always, I suppose, probably 28, 29 around in the pecking order, but I've always loved football from a young age, and, you know, it was never a question of whether I was going to stick at it or not. It was just, I suppose, biding your time, putting in the practice and getting that bit fitter and more confident in yourself. But yeah, no, far from the starting 15, starting out.
Yeah, and of course that rise has, I suppose, included the last couple of years, which have been hugely successful. I mean, obviously the Division 1 title, the two finals. Last year's final, was it a little bit disappointing?
We were very disappointed with ourselves. Just the way that we showed up on the day, I don't think we probably displayed what we're capable of. And it was just very disappointing, I suppose. Yeah.
So, and of course, that probably leads to hurting the whole lot. But you don't have much time to dwell on it because you go back to your clubs. And I think possibly maybe the club kind of fades away that hurt a little bit, particularly with a good county championship.
Absolutely, yeah, sure. I think we were back involved with the club about 10 days later, so there was not much time to think about it, but as I said, going back to the girls in Finuwi, you know, your mind focuses to new goals, and that was winning the county championship. And, you know, we were so close last year, we knew we wanted to give this year a good rattle and see where we ended up. And look, unfortunately, we won the county championship, so that took a small bit of hurt away.
Yeah, absolutely, it's great form going in. Kerry Dublin the next day, the league, it's as if it was nearly fixed that the first game was going to be between the two big teams. Is it nice to play Dublin nice and early? Is it nice to get another shot at them, or is it just back to league standard? Is it just another team, really?
It's just another team at the end of the day. We've a good few new faces into the panel, so look, they'll all be raring to go as well. And at the end of the day, any team you play, look, obviously there'll be a bit of hurt looking at Dublin, I suppose, and the fact that we lost in the All-Ireland final. But I think it's just another league game. We'll all be raring to go. You want to be playing football, and it's just another football match at the end of the day. And yeah, looking forward to getting going.
And you've a lot of new faces in this year, a lot of them up from the minor level as well. Does the Niamh Carmody, who was number 26 and 27 down the back row, look at the young girls coming in and kind of give them a little bit more help, maybe more appreciative of their journeys?
Yeah, I think it's just trying to encourage everyone. No matter what age you start at or where you come in, like, if you train hard and you give it your best, like, you're always winning a shot of getting 1 to 15. I think that's the most important thing for any player, is just to have, I suppose, a bit of confidence in themselves and just stick at it. Yeah, and you'll always get your chance at the end of the day.
Absolutely. This is Niamh, the very best looking. It'll be great to you.
Thanks very much.
There you go, that was Niamh Carmody on a freezing cold night back in Fossa last Friday evening. And I want to thank Paul Murphy and Nora Feely for facilitating all those interviews. And of course, all those passing cars. Yeah, it wasn't in the back of the car park. But I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And listen, the first game, of course, it's on next weekend. If you're not going to go to Dublin, make sure you certainly watch it. And maybe get on social media and support them along the way as well. The research, of course, commissioned by Lidl and carried out just very briefly by Red Sea in December 2023 will reveal that despite 42% of people stating an interest in attending a female sporting event and 74% thinking it is a shame that people don't attend, more than half, 59% of the population admit that they've never attended a live female sporting event, compared to over a 29% having never attended a men's event. Yeah, and something that we will be discussing after 7 o'clock in the company of Niamh Tallon of horsesport.ie as we look at maybe some of the reasons why people are not attending ladies' events as much as they are men's events. And of course, Horse Sports Awards are back, and I suppose it basically is an awards night by the website, recognising, I suppose, the incredible achievements of Irish athletes in 2023, who are women, of course. The event, of course, is taking place on the 27th of January. And our very own Louise Mary Hertig is one of an amazing selection of sports stars up for that award. And that is something we should all keep an eye on. And if we get a chance to maybe vote Louise and support her along the way, there's another Kerry connection on that list as well. I'll let you know after the break. We'll talk about basketball as well. Garvey's are back to winning ways. We'll get Kieran Donnelly's view on it. And then the Division 1 Cup Finals were played yesterday as well. All that and more after 7 o'clock. We'll break for news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now,
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, Horse Sports Awards are back. Yet another historic and momentous year for Irish sportswomen and the Horse Sport Awards. They aim to celebrate and recognise the incredible achievements of Irish athletes in 2023, and there was many of them. And the event will take place, of course, on the 27th of January, just around the corner, actually, at the UCD Astra Hall. And our very own Louise Nuera Hertig is one of the amazing selections of sports stars. And there is some selection. I was going through them. Amy O'Connor, the Cork Camogie player, Ciara McGeehan, Ellen Keane, of course, she's a fantastic Paralympian. She's only 13 years old or something, as crazy young as that. Katie McCabe, Katie Taylor, Leona Maguire, Louise Mary Hertig, our friend Lucy Mahal, yeah, absolutely, the captain of the Sevens, of course, Sheila McCrohan, and she, of course, is the women's lightweight individual sculls, and she has a South Kerry connection, of course. Her father is from Renard. And Tammy Nguyen, she is the first weightlifter to win a senior medal at the European Weightlifting Championships. And on to talk about that and many more of those is Niamh Tallon. Delighted to have you on the line, Niamh. That is some lists and some achievements put together on a fairly small piece of paper, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really tough to get that short list of 10. And, you know, I guess we're lucky we have multiple categories because we want to recognise as many of the achievements across sport as we possibly can. So, yeah, fabulous achievements in 2023 and lots more to come this year, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And, of course, as a sidebar, you have the younger version as well, where you have Rashida Adeleke and all those fitting in that one as well. Come here, Niamh. Tell us about her sport, I suppose, at the start and the website. How is it going? And maybe how it has grown over the last number of years.
Yeah, so I would have started off her sport, I suppose, as a website and social media platforms. I'm trying to raise awareness about the amazing female athletes in Ireland and trying to create a cultural change. I would have noticed the lack of coverage around female athletes and then also the knock-on effect of that, where you see girls and women dropping out of sports. So, yeah, started off in 2018, and over the last number of years, I'm just seeing massive growth. So we have over 190,000 people in our community now. We are really starting to see, I suppose, the impact of the work that we're doing through messages that we're receiving, whether it be from high-performance athletes, or we recently got a lovely email from a 13-year-old fan before Christmas thanking us for the work that we do, as well as telling us about all that she learns from tuning into her sport. So it's been a really good journey. We've increased the size of our team so that it increases the amount of work that we're able to do and the news that we can share, and just continuing to try and highlight as many female athletes as we possibly can. And look, this year was phenomenal, and 2023 was phenomenal, but looking into 2024, we obviously have the Olympics and Paralympic Games coming up this year, so lots more to come.
Mm-hmm. Do you find, Niamh, that the stories are speeding up at a rate of knots? I mean, the amount of success that is there within the women section and sports and the whole lot, I mean, is that developing the culture itself? I mean, obviously when somebody sees Lucy Mahal doing so well and people say, well, I remember Lucy Mahal from football and I know her from such a thing and the whole lot, does that kind of build up another community of supporters who are saying, I can keep contact with her by following your website?
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of female results or results from female athletes. Like a number of years ago, we did a bit of analysis. It was in 2019, I believe, that 64% of the medals won on the international stage were actually by female athletes. But I'd say if you asked, you know, somebody walking down the street to name some of them, they would have struggled to do that. So I don't think that the talent has not been there and the results have not been there. I think it's just lack of media coverage around it. So we've definitely seen a shift, and obviously that's what we're pushing to do. And, you know, delighted to speak to the likes of yourself and other people, I suppose, around the country where we can, you know, showcase and profile all of the female athletes. And, you know, you have to look, I suppose, at you know, some of the sponsors that have come on board and really supported some of the games. So if you're looking at the likes of the LGFA, everybody knows of the huge involvement that Lidl has had in growing that game and pushing things forward. Looking at the likes of Sky and Cadbury getting involved in the Irish women's team and you know, the success that they had very soon after. You know, the sponsorship from those brands coming on board, like then they qualified for their first ever major tournament and went to the World Cup last year. So I think a lot of people are seeing the change in tide and you know, getting on board, and they kind of talk about women in general, saying that women have to do extraordinary things to get noticed, and I think we have seen some of that, like in, you know, looking at the likes of Katie Taylor and what she has paved for everybody coming behind her. You know, it's really not that long ago that Katie Taylor had to do a display fight to even get women's boxing into the Olympic Games, and then look at all the success we've had in boxing since. You know, you have Amy Broadhurst, who has, you know, credited you know, Katie and talked about her as a role model when she was younger, and you know, now they're working together, training sometimes together, and looking at Amy, like she was world champion, European champion and Commonwealth champion last year. So I think the power of visibility is just unbelievable.
Absolutely, and it wasn't that long ago actually that Katie Taylor was fighting out in Listowel, and I could go out to Listowel I'd say about maybe 6-7 years ago max, pay €10 to go in, and it was only half full as well, to be fair, and where she has come along in the meantime. And you're right about her knocking down that wall, because she seems to have, I suppose, shone that light on it. And of course we associate her with her boxing, but I mean, she's probably leading the light for maybe a cultural change on her own, maybe unknown to herself, maybe in that sense as well. Give us some of the big names that we should look for maybe 2024. Who are the ones that might come through? You mentioned the Olympics. I mean, obviously there's going to be a fantastic team of women going there as well, and maybe a lot of the medals might come from that side.
Yeah, no, there's huge potential, I think, you know, to come in 2024. And I was listening to, you know, somebody speaking earlier this week about you know, the potential in the Olympics and the Paralympics, and as you mentioned, that a lot of them are female athletes or female teams. So you've already mentioned there Ciara Magean, Ellen Keane, Rashida Adeleke, like huge potential there. I think Ellen Keane wants to, you know, finish her career on a high and will be looking to seek a podium finish. Ciara Magean and Rashida have had exceptional years this year. It is a very competitive field in terms of the events that they are both going to be competing in. But if they can bring their A game on the day, nothing is out of the realms of possibility. I think you have to look at maybe some of the swimmers and what the potential is with them. Ellen Walsh and Mona McSharry would have competed in their first Olympic Games in Tokyo and would have been very young going to it. Mona would have made a final. And Ellen has been doing very well over the past 2 years. So I think we have to be aware, I suppose, of some of, you know, managing our expectations. It is a very, very competitive event, but I think we will see a lot of finalists and people that are challenging for, you know, top 10, top 5 finishes and hopefully some for podiums as well. So looking at the rowing, I think there will be potential there as well. One of the crews that we saw develop this year are in the Team of the Year category for the Her Sport Awards is Alison Burgeon and Zoe Hyde. So they finished fourth in the World Championships. I think it was their debut competition out together on the international stage. They're very young, both under 23, and that result is just really, really impressive, as well as all the other women that are on that team. And we obviously had a bronze medal at the Olympic Games in Tokyo with the women's four. So yeah, lots going on. Very exciting, and I'd say watch for records falling and other achievements outside of the Olympics and the Paralympics as well.
Absolutely. My God, you're going to have an awful lot of stuff to write and type. You probably have to take on a couple more, Stephanie. You'll need a few more titles. Come here, Talk us about the event itself out in the UCD Astra Hall. I mean, it's fantastic to recognise achievements in the year, but that list that I read out, I mean, to be very fair, I mean, if it was men's and women's, I would say at least some of these would be in a list of both. I mean, they're that good. Obviously, look, Leona Maguire, Katie Taylor, Katie McCabe, of course, fantastic as well. And of course, Ciarán McGeehan, of course, down here as well. We would kind of claim her as our own because Jerry mm-hmm. Kiernan trained her for a couple of years as well. Yeah. And she speaks so fondly of him, Jerry Kerryman. Louise Murray Hurtick, obviously, we're all going to vote for her down here in block and the whole lot. How can people help Louise get across the line?
Yeah, so if everybody wants to have a look at the different categories and cast their votes and make sure that they're counted, like I can run you through the categories here. So we have Athlete of the Year, sponsored by Braeburn Coffee. We have Young Athlete of the Year, sponsored by Whoop. Team of the Year, sponsored by Sky. Personality of the Year, sponsored by AYA. That's a new category this year. So it's off the pitch or off the competition field. Achievements and contributions that an athlete or somebody in sport has made to sport. We have the Community Award sponsored by Energia, and to anybody that's listening, if they have, you know, seen somebody that has made a huge impact or contribution in their club or in their community in terms of women's sport, we urge people to put those nominations forward. Like, sport is built on, you know, people locally contributing their time and supporting these athletes at development level, at grassroots level. So we'd love to see those stories submitted. And then we'll also induct somebody into the Hall of Fame. So previous inductees were footballer Olivia O'Toole and Katrina McKiernan, who'll be known for her fantastic performances in athletics. So you can vote for all of those categories on awards.hersport.ie. And there's still some tickets available as well for anyone that wishes to join us on the night. It's a publicly open event, and we encourage anyone that's interested in sport to come along. And it is child friendly because we want to make sure that the accessibility is there for you know, young children to come and experience the night and showcase the role models. And the athletes last year were fantastic in taking the time to take photographs and chat to the children, as well as, I suppose, the adults who wanted a few minutes with them as well.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, of course, creating the memories for the next generation to come along around the corner, which isn't that long away, to be fair. Listen, Eve Tallon, I really enjoyed the conversation this evening. We won't keep it as long again. You never know. We might touch base maybe ahead of the Olympics, and you can kind of fill us in maybe on your tips and all that kind of stuff maybe before that in the next couple of months. The very best of luck and the awards. And listen, it is a site that I do watch regularly. I'm probably on Twitter, or is it X now, whatever it is these days. And you are very good, and you're doing a great job as well. And it isn't an easy job to start from scratch. Rome wasn't built in a day, and certainly this fight won't be won in a day either, but it's a continuous battle that needs to be fought. And listen, Eve, the very best of luck to yourself and Hersports and all those putting the awards together on the 27th, and of course vote Louise Murray Hurtick as often as you can, get her across the line, and pass your number two there to McCrone from Renard. We'll get her over there as well. Listen, thanks very much, Eve, and we'll talk to you again during the summer maybe.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Just 6 days after their heartbreaking defeat to Ballincollig in the National Cup semi-final, Garvey's Tralee Warriors produced one of their great comebacks by turning around a 26-point deficit to fire their way to a stunning 1984 win over UCC Demons last Friday evening. And the win, of course, helped them secure top spot in the Southern Conference, another 9-3, which is fantastic. And after the game, delighted Kieran Donaghy gave his thoughts.
Yeah, no, look, the atmosphere was exceptional, I suppose. No, we didn't give them much to cheer about early on. It's probably not a habit we want to get into, to be trying to pull back, you know, 18. I think we were down 26 at one stage today. It's not a good position to be getting ourselves into. Obviously, a bit of disruption this week with Ryan going out, which is always going to off-balance what we had going in the previous 6 weeks. But no, it's a great win. Look, it's a great win because when you're looking at it and it's 32-7, you're kind of going, Jesus, what are we going to do? But fellas dug in, you know. Rap was huge. Jack Midas was outstanding again tonight. Big answer for him. Even though it took Jarvis a while to get going, he was huge. Keane Sullivan was big when he came in. Even Eddie when he came in, because Caleb needed a break. Eddie came in, was very solid, went to the free throw line, knocked down his free throw. Just everybody chipping in, next man up mentality, as we always talk about, as a kind of a culture thing here in Tralee. So huge win, crowd exceptional, you know, we got to go on the road for a few weeks, and look, we can't wait to get back and play in front of this atmosphere, because last week was so crushing to everybody in Tralee. They came out in huge numbers tonight and really picked us up when they had no right to.
Kieran Donnelly giving his thoughts on their fantastic win, and they are on a bit of a roll at the moment. Now, the action was in full swing all day Sunday in the Castle Island Community Centre, where the Edel Cup finals, of course, were held across the various divisions. And it might have taken until 20 past 10 last night, believe it or not, for Ginnegula to be crowned the Division 2 men's winners after they defeated Glimbe, needing a strong final quarter to put the Mid-Kerry side away finally. But afterwards, I caught up with player coach Lorcan Keane. Lorcan Keane, congratulations. That took a long time to win, didn't it?
It did. It took a good bit. No, we kind of had a poor start, and we always kind of had, were in control of the game. I knew we'd come into the Vinch today, but we were lucky enough in the end. We made hard enough work of it.
Yeah. 7 points down at the end of the third quarter. You got a good run. You began to find baskets, and Ronan began to find his way as well.
Yeah, it was mainly cutting down on turnovers. We had a start of the third, we had a few turnovers in a row, and when you turn over the ball, it's kind of tough to set up your defence. Yeah, we kind of got a bit more controlled in the fourth, and the swing momentum really, and we were lucky enough to hold on for the end of the game.
Yeah. There's been a great culture of basketball, I suppose, in Ginnegula over the last number of years. I mean, where did that stem from?
I suppose with the school, Jimison Hughes and Cormac Collins there did very good work. Even my own and Ray's team, we were kind of the first kind of age of it, and ever since then they've really done well to keep it going with all the underage teams, and sure, every year they're winning something.
Yeah. And of course, you have a young man over there, Dan Murphy.
He's still we do. He's still going. I know how he does it.
How crucial was his play, the one that came off the free throw, got the two, and then managed to get fouled as well?
That was probably the last kind of dagger, really. It was only 2 points in it, missed a free throw, and then that extended to five, and drove 5 points with a minute left is a tough thing to overcome. But Dan's always there for us in the end of the games.
I suppose people will say, you know, you need a big bench as well. You just have the bare few, so does that put a lot of pressure on you?
Not really, no. We actually have a good few, and there's a few lads injured there. Dave Gleeson and Patrick Russ and Ross there are usually with us as well. They weren't available today, and you know, even for training there, we have the two teams, so we always have a good few training, probably 15 training twice a week, so it's good to have numbers anyway, especially in a small club like that.
And Glimbe, of course, they were never going to give it easy to you. I mean, they fought all the way to the very end, and they kept us in doubt.
They did, yeah. Similar to ourselves, kind of a small enough club, not the Tralee or the Castle Islands. They always have good enough teams underage. And yeah, no, nothing easy going to Glimbe anyway.
And you have good celebrations on you, will?
We will, if we have time in it.
Thanks, Lorcan. I said they got time in all right. Half ten leaving the court last night to win. Congratulations, Ginnegula. Now, there was a great drama in the Women's Division 1 final, which was played just before us, when a three-pointer by Kate O'Connor, just 3.4 seconds from the end, tied up the game and forced overtime against Tralee Magic, the Tralee side. To be fair, looked the better side for most of that game, but could not just get over the line. In overtime, of course, the loss of Holly O'Brien impacted big time on the Tralee side, with MVP Miriam Lean showing some great leadership to give the Castle Island team St. Mary's the win. Their winning coach is Cormac O'Donoghue.
Cormac O'Donoghue, if there was ever a manual written on how not to win a Division 1 Cup final, that's probably it. Yeah. Fantastic achievement, though.
Yeah, look, obviously the girls had a tough week this week. We didn't practice as much as we would have liked, but having said that, during the game I thought defensively we were very good, you know, but we just couldn't convert either from the free throw line or from open play. I think at one stage in the first half we're up 7-2, and we'll probably have to miss some 14 or 15 scoreable chances at that stage. And from probably the second quarter on, we probably played second fiddle to Tralee, but we hung in there. You know, in fairness to the girls, we hung in there, got in foul trouble, but again we had massive contribution off the bench, you know. And I suppose the game is never over until it's over.
Yeah. And coming on that third quarter, I mean, Tralee, I suppose, in fairness, they were beginning to show the scores. They went 37-29 ahead. But then Clodagh Coffey with a two, and Miriam Lean with one, and fantastic game by her as well. Those 3 points were crucial because it sent you 37-32 heading into the fourth, and you were within again.
They were crucial. And once we didn't go behind by double figures, we always had a chance. I made a conscious decision towards the end of the third quarter that I'd go with a smaller, quicker lineup and try and put more pressure up the court, try and force a few turnovers. We did that. We still found it hard to score and convert, though. I mean, I think the amount of foul shots we missed was criminal. But
Look, in fairness to Kate, she stepped up there at the very end of the game and shot an amazing three-pointer just to bring it to overtime.
Yeah, absolutely. It really was a shot to nothing. I mean, and particularly at stage, because Holly O'Brien had got really into the game. She had scored maybe 6 points there on the trot, got back 48-45, 3.86 seconds on the clock, and she takes a three. Did you even see it going?
I saw it going in all right, because we kind of drew up something to say that we couldn't get the ball inside. A couple of players to spot up. Look, that stage of the game, playbook goes out the window and you're looking for players to stand up, and in fairness to Kate, she never short of confidence. Going back to Holly O'Brien, she was phenomenal for Tralee. I mean, she's a serious talent, and I just hope the injury she picked up isn't too serious. She'll be back again shortly, you know, because she's a serious talent.
Mm-hmm. Coming into overtime, what does the coach talk to their players about in overtime? I mean, it's 5 minutes, like I said, the coaching manual goes out the window at that stage. I mean, momentum is different, players are injured, players are coming in. What's it all about then?
Well, at overtime, I suppose the first thing is we were relieved to get a chance at it. You know, I was trying to tell them not to reach. I mean, the amount of reaching fouls we gave during the game was crazy. And I mean, something I keep the girls know in practice. I keep giving all. I think our defense is so good at times we don't have to bail teams out by reaching in. But at that stage, it's just a case of knocking down overtime and basically trying to go up with the big plays. Foul shots were always going to be a huge part of the overtime because we were awarding team fouls. I think we converted maybe a few more than what we did during regulation. Like Miriam hit two before she fouled out, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You know, we hit one or two down the end, just kept the 2 or 3 points between us.
Yeah, you certainly found the basket in the free throws when you needed to in overtime. Final word on Miriam?
I coached Miriam first maybe 10 or 12 years ago, and when she relocated back down to Kerry and I heard she was around, we basically needed someone like her, because that's a very young bunch of girls. You know, there's a lot of 18, 19, early 20s, very young bunch of girls, and someone with Miriam, they would have looked up to her years ago. And look, you can see there, she was phenomenal under the boards. I don't know how many rebounds she had, but you know, she was absolutely phenomenal, you know. And she just brings that spark and enthusiasm to the team as well.
You'll take a good rest now, will you?
That's Wayne Gray.
Well done, Cormac.
Yeah, hopefully Cora got a good rest. We all needed a good rest after that. It was a super exciting game. Of course, in the men's final, it was Tralee against Castle Island again. Very high quality affair. This time it was between St Mary's and St Brendan's. Both sides had fairly dominant patches throughout. I mean, Brendan's were ahead 24-21 at the end of the first quarter. Mary's went ahead 2-clear then at the end of the half. They'd pushed on 4-clear, I think, by the third. They led 85-80 as well with 5:08 on the clock. So they were kind of edging towards it, but they were never really safe, I suppose, to be fair. And then a brace of threes by back-to-back by Mark O'Shea put Mary's in the lead, and they held on. And their player coach is Declan Cahill.
Declan, congratulations, Men's Division 1 Cup champions. All through that game, you never really got away. I mean, 24-21 behind, 43-41 ahead, 69-65, 94-92. It really was a titanic struggle all the way through.
It really is, and it's credit to Brendan's. They really are a terrific team. We knew they would be really up for the game. They're super talented, super young. Lots of experience for lads who are very young and very, very skilled. Full credit to them. It really could have gone either way in a game that close. Mm-hmm. And all it is just like whoever gets the last basket, unfortunately it was us.
Yeah. Before we go into the game, the quality of the game, the standard of the game, I mean, Division 1 men, I mean, the score 94-92, the baskets, the threes, those two crucial threes by Mark O'Shea coming down the back straight under pressure. I mean, it really had everything.
It's Division 1 Kerry basketball, and it's probably the best it's been in a long time. Credit goes to Tralee because they're constantly bringing up young fellas, but here in Castle Island we're really trying to bring it back to what it was. We were a National League team for years and years, and that's our goal, and we've been training really hard to get that. And having lads like Mark come into the team and other lads like Keane who got MVP today, they really make the difference for us. But yeah, the standard Kerry basketball is constantly up and up. It genuinely is, and that's a good showmanship for today, especially the fact that Brendan's had so many good young players there as well.
Mm-hmm. And there was a nice edge to the game as well. I mean, yes. We wouldn't say it was kind of stuff, but I mean, that's what you kind of need to in a cup, isn't it?
Definitely. It's a cup game, which makes it tough enough, but that's the third time we played each other this season as well too, so the rivalry is building up and we have to play them two more times left this season, so it's going to be like that. But yeah, rivalry is the best thing about the basketball at this level. But after the game, everybody shakes hands and everybody's actually really respectful of each other, which is the highest compliment you can give each other. Play as hard as you can, and then they come out after being, you know, okay with each other and all that. Yeah.
Third quarter, you're ahead 69-65. Brendan's really come out of the blocks. I mean, they turn over that lead and they go 78-75 down. There was no big panic though, was there?
No, and that's one thing we've been all season. We're a little bit older than us, so we have that experience. We've been in these close games before, and maybe that's why you won it, but we don't get overreact to anything. That's the main thing. We have lads who've been playing for years. Seamus, who's like 31, he's been playing National League, Super League and everything like that. He's the captain. He kind of leads by example, never really losing the cool completely. And the likes of Donald as well too. They're leaders on the team that keep everybody on even keel. Yes, we can get a bit mad at times, but then we settle down and then really focus on what's next. It's not about the mistake, it's about the recovery, and that's what our team really believes in.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you were trailing by those 3 points, 89, 86, 2:30 on the clock. Mark O'Shea steps up 3 points from either side. That was important.
It was, and you know Mark's going to make it as well too, because he is one of the best shooters in the county, and he's showing it in training. Full confidence, and I always give the guys the green light. I'm like, if you're open, shoot it. We genuinely believe we are a great shooting team, and obviously the score shows that. And all the training that we put in all season with all the shots we've been shooting showed it there, and you know, credit them, you really deserved a moment like that.
Mm-hmm. And then it was a case, of course, maybe relaxing, slowing down the clock, taking as much time out of it. It was a nerve enough last 8.5 seconds, wasn't it?
Oh, it is, and especially my turnover at the end too. As a coach, it's kind of hard to make those mistakes and then try to advise the guys what to do next. But we responded really well. Like, we had two big stops to make at the end, and we did it, you know, and that's the bottom line, and that's us learning and learning from mistakes. It happened in the Blitz final, we lost by a point off a turnover, and you know, we're able to progress from that, which shows great signs for us really.
And a final word for your MVP, Keane.
Fantastic. He really is. He's really been a difference maker this year since he came in first game of the season for us. He had 28 points and has just kind of set that tone all season. Super aggressive, super smart, really gets on well with the team as well too, and he's actually unselfish for a lad who scores so much. He's actually a good passer of the ball as well too, gives you everything. Really, really honest player, and we're lucky to have him, definitely.
Right, Declan, congratulations. And the best looking your next floating.
Definitely. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go, Declan Cahill, player coach of St. Mary's Division 1 Cup champions, defeating St. Brendan's, and they have two more outings against each other. And when we referenced the word edgy, it was very debatable towards the end, to be fair. 94-92, there you go. That was a quick wrap of some of the adult basketball cup games at the weekend. Up next, it's soccer.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Kerry FC will begin their second season shortly in Division 1 of the League of Ireland, with their first season, I suppose, with many learnings. And joining us on the line now is Dermot Kearney of Final Whistle and Kerry's Eye to take a look, I suppose, at what lies in store for Kerry FC in the new season. Dermot, thanks for joining us. Before we talk about going ahead, a good win against Avondale the last night.
Yeah, Donald, thanks for having me on the show this week. You mentioned it, I suppose you always want to start the year off on a winning run, and for Kerry FC it was Daniel Acute's, I suppose, late goal in the second half that saw Kerry win 1-0 over Avondale, and as a result now they're looking forward to a quarter final in the Munster Senior Cup against Cove Ramblers, who are obviously in the first division as well. So definitely a good start to the pre-season for Conor McCarthy's side, and now looking forward to build over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. And of course it is Conor McCarthy's side, and it will need kind of a Conor McCarthy revamp, relook. A lot of new faces coming in. Could you take us through maybe some of the new kids on the block?
Yeah, so Kerry has confirmed 4 new signings from last year. Andy Spain has joined from Treaty United, Jack Kavanagh from Athlone, and then they've signed Stephen Healy and Darren McCarthy on loan from Galway United. All 4 did feature in that Avondale game. I know Andy started but did come off injured in the second half, and Darren McCarthy came off the bench. Stephen Healy played very well in midfield, very impressed by what he does bring to the table. Losing the likes of Keane Barras, who was on loan last year from Shamrock Rovers, Kerry do need someone in the midfield. I know they have the likes of Ronan Tien and a couple of other lads in there who they have re-signed, but to have someone like Stephen Healy come down, he is a young lad but he's hungry to impress. Jack Kavanagh looked really, really strong in his first appearance in the Kerry jersey since joining from Athlone, and so as too did Andy Spain before he did get injured. And for the brief moment we did see Darren McCarthy come on in that second half, definitely is looking to come into that team and impress on loan from Galway United. But you know, we've only signed 4 players, there is 30 something days till the league comes out, and I know Kerry will be taking on Galway in a pre-season friendly in Killarney this week. We may see a couple of players on trial coming from that game, and maybe a few social media posts coming out of it that Kerry will have a few more players, but just the 4 names confirmed for now, though.
Mm-hmm. 4 in, quite a number gone out. Leo Gaska, will he be back in Killarney all of a sudden?
Well, he did play the last day for Galway in a pre-season friendly. They have a host of pre-season friendlies. They're playing Cork tomorrow in their first Cork's first pre-season friendly will be against Galway, but Galway did play a very trialist team. The trialist family definitely had a good few representatives in the Galway squad that day, and and Leo was one of the players that was starting, so he'll hopefully come back to Killarney and get a rapturous reception from the home supporters, or maybe not. We'll have to wait and see. But when you're talking about players who have left Kerry outside of Leo, obviously Keane Barrett went back to his parent club, Shamrock Rovers, as I mentioned. Martin Coughlin, who joined at the midway point of the season last year, he is after immigrating to Australia, so he won't be part of the squad. And as for the other departures, you have Arthur Ngannou, who also came into the squad at the latter stages of last year. And then you have Alex Ainscough and Sean Kennedy, who have departed as well. But a host of players have re-signed as well from last year. So Connor does have a host of players who have the experience of playing in the league last year that he can call upon to build this squad for this season.
Mm-hmm. Talk about this season. I suppose last season everything was new and shiny, and I suppose it was the first trip everywhere, and it was the first goal and the first sending off and the first booking and the first biggest crowd and all that. This year though, that learnings will need to kind of develop a bit more. I mean, obviously we finished up at the tail end of the table last year, which most people fairly expected, because even Billy said it was a learning experience, and I suppose we had to go through maybe the pain, the torture at times to kind of find our feet to where we were in it, and this is kind of maybe a second season where a lot of lessons will have to be learned, or certainly a lot of games will have to be closer. Maybe
they will. I suppose Kerry did have a few games last year where they did leave frustrated, where they thought that maybe they should have got a point in games that were very tightly contested, or should have taken 3 points here and there. I mean, Kerry only scored 10 points out of their 38 game season last year, with only one win, and that came against Athlone Town. And I know Kerry did beat Ringmahon Rangers in the Cup in Tralee, and it was the first win in Mount Hawk Park. But outside of that, Kerry did get 7 draws as well, and maybe some of those games you could look at it with a toss of a coin to say, should Kerry have won the game? Could they have lost the game? But as you mentioned there, it is very much a new season, but they will have to take the lessons from last year and try and improve and get those results. Last year maybe did say, look, it is a learning curve for a lot of these lads. There is players in that squad who didn't have the experience of playing maybe overseas or in the League of Ireland before. Obviously, they have brought in players the likes of Andy, Jack and Stephen and Dara that I have mentioned, who have that experience. You are losing players as well, but Connor will want to impress this year. He will want to take results. He will want to start winning games, and if they can get a good campaign maybe in the Munster Senior Cup for the pre-season before they do head down to Turner's Cross to that first night in February, it is something to build on. But they will be certainly looking to try and be a lot more competitive than we did see last year.
Mm-hmm. Stay with us on the line, dear Dermot, for a couple of minutes, because I'm joined by Clarny Celtic's Paul Sherry, of course, and Clarny Celtic are hosting that Kerry FC versus Galway game on Thursday. And of course, he knows a bit about Colin McCarthy too, I'd imagine, been up and down that pitch plenty of times. Paul, it's always a great honour to host League of Ireland games. I mean, over the last number of years, you have Cork City, you've had Treaty, you have a Kerry now, and you have Galway. A lot of people want to play in Killarney, don't they?
So it seems, yeah. No, it's great. I think it probably stems from there's a bit of a relationship that with John Caulfield from when he was with Cork, and I think he, certainly in my time, I think he came down to 2 years in succession for sort of a pre-season bout with ourselves, which has been great for our guys, because it's always a great test to put yourself up against some of these sides. You never intend winning, I guess, but it's always great fun. So we're really looking forward to welcoming John back with Galway, and also to see all the lads from Kerry over as well, so we'll look forward to a great night on Thursday.
Yeah, and it's a great way to profile the club as well. I mean, obviously you've excellent facilities developed over the years with an awful lot of hard work gone in as well, and it's great for people that will come to see the club. And I think I dare say people will be kind of blown away by how professional the whole setup is, and the Astro and the two pitches and the whole lot and the stands and a lot, and it's good to showcase that. But of course you are developing a club yourselves as well, Clarny Celtic. Bit maybe unlucky the last day with the penalties, but it seems to be a barrier for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've not had an awful lot of luck over the last few seasons or the last few games that we've been out and outside competitions on penalties. But I suppose, look, when it comes down to it, it's a bit of a lottery. you know, it's, I think we got past Pike in the previous game on penalties, which we thought we'd broken the hoodoo, because previously we'd gone out in sort of fairly major tournaments. We went out, I think, in Munster Junior and FAI Junior to Ballinanti last year, and I think we also lost on penalties this year to Newcastle West. So, you know, sadly, we went out of the FAI Junior Cup this year at a very early stage, which was unfortunate. But all penalties, so we haven't had a great deal of luck, and of course, we lost in penalties to Sheriff back when we got to the semi-final of the FAI Junior. You know, so yeah, we've not had a great deal of luck in penalties. But look, it's a lottery, you know, and you've got a feel for the guys. That I was on the sideline there the last day when Stephen called the boys for to see who was going to take the penalties, and you know, there's always more than five or six fellas willing to put their hands up, you know, and I think it takes a lot of guts to sort of be one of those penalty takers. And, you know, they've acquitted themselves, you know, as best they can over the time. And it was just unfortunate the last day. You know, it was an extremely good game. Got very, very tough opposition, as you know, they were last year's Junior Cup winners, you know, so Newcastle, Newmarket, yep. You know, they're no mean opposition. They were a great side, you know. And we were very, very unfortunate, I think, not to win the game, to be honest. You know, we had plenty of opportunities, but we just couldn't put them away. And sadly, it went to penalties and we came up short. And that's the nature of the game, I guess.
That's the beauty of the beast in the game, it is. Your underage structure, I mean, we get the results called out every week. But, I mean, the amount of teams you're fielding across the age groups, I mean, there's great growth gone on there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean we're holding our own sort of in the last couple of years, you know, because there's a lot of new clubs coming on the scene around, you know. I mean, obviously there's Athletic and Mastakiha and MEK, and you know, there's a few others, so they're all sort of pulling from our natural sort of home ground where we pull from. But we seem to be holding our own, and our numbers are still sort of quite strong. You know, we're sort of, I think probably we average sort of somewhere between 500 and 600 members a year, you know. So we're able to sort of, and we've got a great sort of representation of girls as well, you know. So we seem to be doing sort of well in that sort of area, you know. So it's all moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, with a great outing there with the girls, we got to a semi-final of the FAI Cup, you know. We had an outing in Turner's Cross with our under 17 girls team last year, which was fantastic, you know. So yeah, no, it's all going well.
It's all very positive. Kerry FC and Galway, of course. It's on Thursday night, yes?
Yeah, Thursday night, 7 o'clock kickoff. Yeah,
there'll be loads of parking, and you'll all get in no problem. Can we jump the wall still in Celtic Park, or is there a gate there now? Is there?
hopefully, there'll be enough of us there to make sure there's no fellas jumping the wall. But there'll be parking. Hopefully, there'll be parking available at Legion's football field as well as our own. And usually, we're able to open up sort of parking facility a little bit further down on the HSE grounds. You know, which the old rugby ground. So there should be no issue with parking. So we're really looking forward to the event. Hopefully it'll be rumour has it it's going to be a cold night, but hopefully it'll be a good night and lots of people will come out to support you know, Kerry, and hopefully Galway will bring a few people with them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Paul, thanks for joining us this evening. The very best luck. It is a fantastic club. Don't you worry, there'll be plenty of Yellow Jackets out there and plenty of parking spaces as well for anybody that wants one as well. You're always well organised.
It should be a great game, I think. We're really looking forward to it. It'll be a fabulous occasion.
And hopefully it stays dry. That's Paul Sherry. Dermot, stay on the line with us. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back talking about Kerry FC.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry and Dermot Kearney joins me on the line. We're talking Kerry FC, and thanks there to Paul Sherry, Killarney Celtic, and of course that is the host venue for Galway United and Kerry FC. Dermot, a lot of kind of pre-season games going ahead, I presume. How much value are in them for the Kerry FC management, considering that, you know, it's only around the corner before we're back into Division 1, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's about 30, I think it was 32 days. It's the 16th of February is the first night that Kerry will be out in the League of Ireland. That's the away game to Cork City and Turner's Cross. At the start of next month, we will see Kerry take on Cove in Mount Hall Park in the Munster Senior Cup. But I suppose for Connor, he's coming into the role now as manager. Obviously, he was coaching last year, so he might want to try out some new tactics and maybe test players out in terms of positions and see how they fit in. In terms of pre-season friendlies, great if you know, Kerry do have lads on trial. They want to see are they a perfect fit for the club and give them vital minutes and see if they can impress the management to sign them onto contracts. But, you know, for younger lads, for fringe players, it's great that they can get the experience, get minutes into the legs. I know Daniel managed to get the goal the last day. Great for him to get off the mark and provide goals. Something that Kerry might have been lacking a lot last year was that attacking third of the game. Obviously, they have the likes of Ryan Kelleher back, which is great. Ryan definitely was the leading light last year. You mentioned earlier about Leo's departure. Someone now to fill that void. Leo was a phenomenal player for Kerry last year. So trying to find someone now to fill his shoes is going to be something that Connor and his management team will have to do, try and find those type of calibre of players to bring in. And they want to bring in players that will make people want to come and watch the games, bring in players that can strengthen. And they brought in four players I think can do that. And hopefully we will see more than just those four joining the Kerry FC ranks this season.
Mm-hmm. Having watched them last year, I mean, is there a style that needs to kind of change to get results? Was it maybe just at times last year, was it a bit kind of we left ourselves open at the odd time because we had a number of leads heading down the back straight or games we were kind of chasing and the whole lot? Do you envisage a different style, particularly with the different sort of players that are coming in?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest issues last year was the set pieces. I know when Billy was talking to us on a Monday for our pre-match press conferences, we used to always say to him about the set pieces that Kerry from free kicks or corners used to concede a lot of goals toward the start of the season. As the season went on, didn't see it as much, but there was times in games last year where Kerry in the final maybe 15 or 20 minutes you might have just seen them switch off and concede late on maybe one or two goals and it would affect the outcome of the game. So I think the game management this year will need to improve to get those results, to have players switched on. Maybe it's making those impactful substitutions at the right times, having that set up in place. Looking at like the attacking third of the game last year, Kerry were They did struggle in that regard. I mean, Kerry did only score 29 goals last season in their 36 games in their inaugural season in the first division, which was the lowest by any club in the league, 10 lower than Finn Harps, who finished just ahead of them. And when you look at the goals difference, it was minus 62 when they conceded 91. So they will want to be a lot stronger in defence and a lot more potent in attack. Adding the likes of Andy and Jack Cavanagh to the defence is definitely something that will improve that defence. I think they're for two very experienced defenders who can come in and offer a lot. The last night against in the Senior Cup game, they looked really strong. Stephen Healy looked really good in midfield and trying to build from the back and build from the midfield. I think those three players are very good. Want to see a bit more of Darren McCarthy. Maybe he will line out against Galway during their pre-season friendly this week. So we'll have to see what way they do line out. But I think we are seeing very much the same style and formation, but I think Connor might want to tweak that as the weeks go by as well before we do see them line out against Cork.
Yeah, and Cork is, it leads me on to my next question. I mean, we have Cork, we have Cove, we have Limerick. The games aren't that far away to travel to watch them either if you want to be a fan. I mean, obviously Mount Hawk Park, loads of fans going through the gate there, maybe a couple of extra people in the stands in the terraces on away night as well. How important is the Cork City game? Is it going to be built up as Kerry versus Cork? Is it built up as Cork, the relegated team from last year, who want to get off to a start at 100 miles an hour? Is it a game that, you know, Conor can sit down and say, listen, we could get something out of this?
I think yes to all of that. You know, I know when Cork did get relegated, I think a lot of the Kerry FC fans were licking their lips at the thoughts of going down to Turner's Cross and having a team like Cork coming down. I know, as we heard there, Cork did come down and play the pre-season friendly in Killarney. I was at that game back in 2019 when John Caulfield was there, and he played a game in Mount Hawk Park on that same week with a Kerry FC, a Kerry District E selection, should I say, that was managed by Billy Dennehy. And that was kind of the year I did see Cork that year. They looked really strong in pre-season, but they finished near the bottom half of the table. They finished eighth that year. They were relegated the following year in 2020, and then only last year were they back in the top flight, and obviously beaten by Waterford in that dramatic game in Tallaght to see them back in the first division. So look, they've made a statement already with the likes of Tim Clancy coming in as their new manager. You know, Tim is vastly experienced. When he was with Drogheda, he got into the Premier Division in 2020. He then went to St. Pat's, and it didn't really work out for him at Pat's, and he left in May of last year. But you know, he's gone out to Cork, and that was a big move that they brought someone of his calibre. They have signed Jack Doherty and Charlie Lyons and Cove, who Kerry fans will remember last year as well. They've also brought in the likes of Evan McLaughlin from Derry, who's an exciting player, but one of their marquee signings would have to be Greg Bulger from Sligo Rovers. He's won the league and cup with Cork in the past, so they have made some remarkable signings, but they'll want to get off to a winning start. So you know, with a team the calibre of Cork City, Conor will definitely want to impress. But look, we'll have to see on the night what way the teams do shape up and do line out. But he could definitely, you know, I know they did say it a lot last year, they were going to grounds expecting to come away with something, so I don't see them going to Cork City expecting that they will come out on the losing front.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, they will play him a good few times before the year is out, and we'll be in contact with you a good few times as well, Dermot. We might get in contact as well, maybe in the 32 days time as well, just before we hit the Cork, because we'll have a better look at the team and we'll know who's in and who's out and who's been signed. And you're probably right, there will be a couple more signings. Dermot Kearney of Final Whistle, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and we'll chat in the next couple of weeks. That's Dermot Kearney, of course, a man who knows his Kerry FC. He beats to the games, he wants them, and we'll certainly learn a lot more about Kerry FC over the number of weeks. Well, that was your show this evening. Thanks for everybody who stayed up listening to us in that cold weather. If you're out there driving around, drive safely. Up next, it's Tóg Suss. Mary Connery is taking off the coat there. We'll just stay. Yeah, it's just the coat. That's and she's getting everything out and ready for the show, Tóg. So stay up, listen, and enjoy the music that's coming up. Big thanks to Keane for all that tonight. A lot of work tonight, actually. There was lots of recordings and lots of phone calls. And big thanks to Ivan there as well. Big wave out there to Ivan. He's doing a fantastic job. Fair play to you. And we will do it all again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.